We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Tell me when he's online. Sandy's on the air, making Buffalo proud. He's bigger than life and twice as loud. News Talk 930 presents to you now, Sandy Beach and Company. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Beach and Company. I'm Sandy Beach. We got a lot to talk about today, and we have a distinguished guest that can answer a lot of our questions. And believe me, we've had a lot of questions about the police and their part in our society. And on the line is Tom Burton. Tom is the attorney for the Buffalo Police. And Tom, thanks for taking some time out of, I'm sure, a very busy day today.
Thanks for having me on, Sandy.
Let me ask you some questions that a civilian like myself would want to know. First of all, when the Supreme Court ruled, and I still can't figure out why they ruled like this, that the police are not responsible for protecting property or people. To me, I always thought that was the job of the police, to protect and to serve. Can you explain that Supreme Court ruling? Because I can't figure it out.
Well, the main starting point for all this is, what is the rules from each state from whence a police officer derives his authority? Local police, which handle probably 98% of the arrests for violation of law in the country, are a creature of state law. In other words, a Buffalo cop gets his authority from the state. So while that decision and some of the analysis from it may be troubling, the reality is almost all, in fact, all of the states provide an affirmative duty for cops to do the very thing that you just talked about, to protect life, limb, and property.
Well, it seems to me, too, that they are trying to neuter the police, the people who don't want the police around. And I think by trying to end qualified immunity, that would be a giant step. Is that a legitimate thing that we're going to have to be facing, the elimination of qualified immunity? That would make the cops very vulnerable to every day they come to work.
Well, there's two extremes to that. One is absolute immunity, this gray area called qualified immunity that's been around as part of our legal system forever. And the other extreme, no immunity whatsoever. The bottom line is, you and I, Sandy, don't have to go forward to help somebody. We don't have to go in harm's way. A police officer takes an oath to do so, and this qualified immunity standard has been around to recognize that we can sit back, but cops have to go forward and get involved, so we give them a little benefit of the doubt under the law.
Oh, I would think so. Otherwise, every action would be end up in court. You know how you can tell the mood of the people? Is yesterday I went out for a simple task to buy a few boxes of ammunition for some target shooting. I had to go to three places to find anything. And this has been going on since the Obama administration. I think it says that people recognize the fact that they hope they never have to, but if they ever have to defend home and hearth, they'd at least have something to do it with. Do you sense that attitude yourself?
Well, for some folks that are Second Amendment aficionados, they have a concern for the long term, and it is certainly manifest with what it takes now for a good citizen or one that's inclined to buy a weapon. The shelves in many instances are close to bare. That should tell you something as to concern about the future.
One of the hot topics of discussion are the couple. I know you can't talk about anything you're litigating or about to yourself, but this is a general subject. Couples lived in a very nice house, and a gang of looters, basically, and probably anarchists, break down the gate to their gated community, threatened to kill them, to kill their dog and burn down their house. They went into the house and came out each with a weapon. And now I would think that would be for defending your property because they were in danger of their lives and they felt that way and that's what they said they did. Now, the only thing I can think of is that they were pointing the weapons at the crowd coming after them. Because the DA is talking about the possibility of finding them in some default of some law, and I can't figure out why. If we can't defend our own home when people are threatening to kill us, what can we do? Is the law getting that loosey-goosey?
Sandy, you've addressed two different things. One is good protocol if you have a weapon in your hand. In other words, where you point it, when you point it, how you point it, that's one thing. The other thing is defense of a residence, and you're bringing up something that's very important. Defending mere property outside, at least in this state, is different than defending against a burglar. And it's important for citizens that own a firearm to know this. Burglary that you can use deadly force for to stop in this state entails three elements: entering and remaining unlawfully, and then with intent to commit a crime. And the point is that it's not a license to shoot someone. It's a defense if you reasonably believe it's necessary to terminate a burglary or even an attempt to commit a burglary. And in fact, contrary to what many people think, New York's a pretty liberal state. This is not too bad a state to shoot a burglar if you're inclined to do it as a citizen. In fact, in this state, a citizen probably has broader rights to use deadly force to stop a burglary than a police officer does.
Well, I was always taught, I've been shooting, which I consider a wonderful pastime, since 1965. And I was always taught that if there's a burglary going on, if they're coming after you, you can defend yourself. If they're running out the door, you don't chase them out the door. So you're no longer in any danger. And I think that's a reasonable premise to proceed on. Boy, this is a tough time to be a cop. A lot of cops are, first of all, I did not know, before I get to that, in the CHOP situation, I didn't know that the mayor had the authority to let other people break the law and tell the police to stand down and not interfere. Do mayors always have that kind of authority, or is it left to the department to make those choices?
That's an interesting question. For minor matters, my view is they probably have pretty broad discretion. I don't think a mayor, at least in my reading of New York law, can suddenly say, you know, rioting, attempting arson, significant felony damage of property, possession of a weapon, all those things. There's no provision that I'm aware of where a mayor can suspend those penal law provisions. Now, for minor stuff, that may be a different story, where you can go, where you're parking, where you can drive, et cetera. But those are two extremes of the scale, Sandy.
All right. Tom Burton is with us. He's the attorney for Buffalo PD. Tony, let's skip the stop set at 15. We'll make it up later in the show. We have an opportunity to have Tom here. This is a tough time to be a cop. It's a tough time to recruit cops. A lot of cops are retiring because they see that they're not getting backed up by the civilian authorities. For some reason, the punks who are on the street seem to think they own the streets. Are you having recruiting problems, and are many cops retiring from the Buffalo PD?
I know that there are many that are counting the days when they can optimally leave and take advantage of retirement options. I think your point is best focused on this, though. We have a small, vocal, and effective group of humanity right now that seems to be defining the national agenda. And what's troubling here is that we see optics without knowing what the background is on many of these circumstances controlling the day. And a good example, you know, it didn't get a lot of publicity, is our people over on Bailey Avenue. There were officers that were shot at over there, bottles, bricks, you named it. And we barely got any attention to the good job they were doing. But what happened in front of City Hall went viral, and we have the whole policy pyramid standing on the point instead of its base.
Well, I'll tell you, there are some things that we're happy to have. I think cameras that the policemen wear, I think, is very very effective, because usually they come out on the side of their point of view. You know, if you think about it, Tom, with the bad publicity that's being generated by, and not for good reason, just being generated with the police, if you took a week, a day, you choose whatever it is, how many in the national spotlight, how many different acts there are during the course of a cop's day or week or whatever, and you added them up, you'd find that a very, very small percentage were problematic. In any other scenario, this would be a rousing success. Yet the cops, every minor thing, guaranteed there are some major things, but they're mostly minor. Every minor thing gets magnified, and we seem to be in that now in the last couple of years more than before that.
You take the scale and look what officers do daily, responding to heart attacks, pulling kids out of a pool, responding to robberies, stopping assaults, and drunk drivers. You can go on and on. Everybody expects that. But the scale in terms of optics is completely lopsided when somebody screws up or does something that has some notoriety. And unfortunately, we zero in on the negative end of that instead of people that are out there going in harm's way for us. And unfortunately, I don't think there's an easy way to sponge that away, Sandy.
No, I think we're seeing a whole change in society's view of a lot of things. That's the future of what we're going to be talking after we leave you today. And unfortunately, the cops are right there. The cops represent the difference between us and chaos right now, between us and the end of the look and feel of the country as we have it. The last thing we can afford to do is give up the police. What about the defunding? There's a move now, which when I first heard about it, which was only a few weeks ago, I thought, this is insanity. We can't do this. Defunding a police pretending that social workers could come in and do the job. How is the defunding movement looking from your perspective, Tom?
Well, there's two components to that. Number one, once you have a perception by bad people, drug dealers and criminals outright, that there's little chance of being arrested or interdicted for what they're trying to do, that snowballs. And in some neighborhoods where you're not lucky enough to live in Clarence or, let's say, Williamsville or Orchard Park, the denigration of what's going on happens rapidly. The other problem, Sandy, is this. If you have officers that are saying there is no community support, no backup functionally from society, then you have cops just doing responses to emergency things saying, why should I get involved? Because if I do, the potential is I'm going to be the target because it's politically correct. You add those two things up, and it could spell chaos. And I'll tell you what, social workers do an important job. They're not trained to go into a house when somebody's quavering in their bed with a burglar with a knife. And that's the difference when you pull police out with defunding. It's craziness.
Yeah, it really is. My first thoughts, I think, are still my current thoughts. You know, when they said that they were going to pull Cops off the air, I've been watching Cops for 30 years, as long as it's been on. I thought, oh, that's minuscule. And then I started watching some that are still on, and I figured out why they want Cops off the air. Because, now I know that it's an edited show, but a majority of the things that you see the cops doing are very dangerous, that require a high degree of skill, and it shows them doing a lot of positive things. Not just pulling them over and finding out that nobody carries a driver's license, nobody. They have no ID on them at all. They'll run as fast as they can, and the cops got all of the things on their belt, and they got to catch them. But they're showing them doing good things. And I think they wanted the cop show off the air because they didn't want that perception of cops doing good things while on duty.
You know, you speak of this, and while you were outlining that thought, I've thought of the estates that I've handled with many officers over the years that have fallen. Skip McDougall, Patty Peretti, I can go on and on. If those folks that shot those officers are willing to do that to a uniformed armed police officer, think what easy pickings that is for an ordinary citizen. Now, the idea of defunding or eliminating police is madness. And I'll tell you what, we let the pendulum swing too far. We are going to pay for it societally.
There's no question about that. We're in New York State, which I don't know if we're the only ones that have this, but we certainly have it, and I think it's wrong, and I think a lot of people have said it was wrong, the no bail situation, where you don't have to put up bail money. They give you an appearance ticket, and a lot of these people, I assume, go out in their spare time and commit more crimes. Do you think that's good or bad or indifferent for law enforcement?
Well, what happened was, and there's no doubt there were some people of modest means that would put time in a holding center waiting for their case to come up that somebody of more means would not have to face, and that's a legitimate concern. But when the pendulum swings back so far that somebody's been arrested four or five times for the same crime in New York City and almost brags about it to an officer, as usual here, the political response to what might be a legitimate policy concern with fairness that's not punitive for bail went so far that it was like opening the floodgates. And I predict here, and it will happen, wait till we see a catastrophe, and we're not talking about another drunk driving or something, but a mass shooting or some horrible crime, because someone with a bad history who's done some bad things have been let out on the street to mingle with the rest of us that have some respect for society and are good citizens. That's what scares me, and we will see that.
And I agree with you on that. A question that I think a lot of people are interested in, what is the procedure? What happens, say the Buffalo Police Department gets a complaint about an officer? Okay, it's registered at the department. What happens from there on?
Well, first, administratively, it goes through the Internal Affairs Division. They have a protocol where they have to follow up, investigate, make a determination if it's unfounded, if it's false, if there's not enough proof to support it, etc. If it's real bad, the circumstances, the local district attorney can always look at it. And if it rises to something that is particularly egregious, then we have civil rights issues and the feds can get in the act. Normally, the feds do not do that unless there's a judgment call and something that's overtly a violation of law. Now, sometimes everyone looks at it and the officer is cleared, and that happens on some occasions, especially at the DA's level, with deadly force use by a police officer, because everyone wants to take a look at that to make sure when the guns come out that there's a legitimate reason to use them.
Let me ask you this. How about jurisdiction? We've seen, and the reason I'm asking these questions is if we watch TV, we see it in the different markets and whatever, so I want to apply it to Buffalo. Say something is going on that seems a little over the top, and it's in Buffalo. We know the Buffalo PD has jurisdiction. Can the sheriff's department come in and the state police as well? Do they have to be invited in? Who can ask them to come in, and how does that go?
Well, there's no statutory prohibition from the sheriffs or the state police to be in Buffalo, but generally there's great deference to those different agencies unless one of them calls for help or asks for them. And in Buffalo, generally, it has to be something where they ask these other agencies in, because historically the troopers are, other than, you know, some of the more exotic things with narcotics investigation, organized crime and that, the state police are out in the more rural areas. The sheriff's department, pretty much the same. And Buffalo's got its hands full with what it does here. Now, in times of emergency, they can all come in. They all have jurisdiction. And then at that point, you have to decide who's in command and who's going to run the show.
All right. Well, I'm glad you could spare a half an hour with us, because I had a lot of questions that I wanted to ask you. I don't know if you remember this, but I met you years ago at Susan Banks' house for a Christmas party. Irv Weinstein was there, Judge Wolfgang, and we had a chance to talk for a while.
Well, in retrospect, I would have remembered it, Sandy, if you'd given me a little gift or something.
As I recall, you had a wonderful gift called your wife, who was with you, and a lovely lady she is. Hey, thank you, Tom. A pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sandy. All the best.
Okay. Bye-bye. Tom Burton, he is the attorney for the Buffalo Police, the police themselves, police department. And you see that he's got a couple of cases now I would have loved to ask him about, except for, they do not comment on pending litigation. And so we understand that. Thanks, Tony, and thank your father-in-law for guiding us to Mr. Burton. I think it was a very interesting time.
Yeah, it was very fascinating. Tom's a great guy. As I mentioned before, his firm represented me when I was in my motorcycle accident some 14 years ago.
Yeah, I see you now in the Progressive commercials, don't I?
I'm either there or Liberty, Neutral, I don't know.
Exactly. Well, that was good. We had a lot of questions answered with Tom Burton. I'm glad we had him on.
Yeah, he knows a lot, that's for sure.
He surely does. When we come back, we'll be talking about America in general. News Radio 930, this is WBEN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay, how often is it where we got enough to start the show before we even give the subject? We posted something that appropriate. I'm glad we had Tom Burton on. Tony, there were a lot of questions that I often wondered about, and you got somebody on there who's in the thick of it, and I'm sure he's up to his eyeballs with his work. to get somebody like Tom Burton on, we were very, very pleased. And thanks for your help on that, Tony, too.
My pleasure.
Okay. Now, a couple of days ago, Tucker Carlson from Fox had a show on about what would happen if the Democrats gain total control in the upcoming election. That would be the president gain control of the Senate, keep control of the House of Representatives. That was, I think, 2 days ago. It was announced that that show was the highest rated show in the history of cable. In the history of cable. And that includes all the major cable networks and things like that. It's amazing. He really struck a nerve. So much so that when Tucker got done, it's hard to tell which of those shows are recorded and which are live because they're all very topical. And I guess parts of them would be recorded almost every night, and sometimes most of them are live, but it's hard to tell. But the bottom line is, at the end of his show, Hannity usually says, nice show, and then he starts his show, okay? But that night, two nights ago, he mentioned right away how he totally agreed with Tucker Carlson. And Tucker's premise, as I said, was if the Democrats gain control of Congress and the White House, what America would look like. And the gist of his conversation was, you wouldn't recognize it. It would be a totally different country. It would be a country that the checks and balances that we have now, that we enjoy now, that have served us well, would be out the window. They'd be gone. And a part of which I preach all the time about illegal immigrants, people who sneak into the country illegally. And the governments are giving them free college. They're giving them driver's license and this and that. And even though they're in here illegally, I don't know what other country in the world you could sneak into and get benefits from. And I said the reason that they're soft on this sort of thing is simple. Because they've got patience. And eventually, I didn't think it'd be this fast, but eventually what they're going to do is try and, right now you have to be a citizen to vote. But I think eventually they'll try and gear them up towards citizenship. And then once they become citizens, we will become a one-party country. And that party will not be for Republicans, okay? If you're a Republican, you will have absolutely no say in anything. Because if you were illegal and your biggest fear was being caught and sent back to your home country, suddenly now you can vote in America thanks to the Democrats. You're going to vote for the Democrats for the rest of your life. And your kids are going to vote for the Democrats. That's just going to be the way it is, okay? And Tucker brought up other things that they would do. First of all, we know because Biden says it all the time. He would eliminate all of the tax cuts that the president has instituted, things that we're enjoying to give us more of our own money. Okay, he would eliminate those. Basically, the rest of the things, procedural things that would eliminate any voice the Republicans had at all, make less votes necessary to pass certain things because they would have the power. There'd be no sense in even coming into work if you're a Republican. And so he ended by saying if the power goes all to the Democrats, it will be the end of the USA as we know it. Now, for those of you who think that that's hyperbole, I want you to think about this. Newt Gingrich, smart guy. Newt Gingrich said, this is the most important election in the United States since the Lincoln administration. That was, what, 1860? We are now in 2020. Go back to 1860 before you had a more important election, and that was about the Civil War, slavery, and the whole Megillah. That was a very important election. So my question is, if the Democrats control the White House and Congress, will it be the end of the USA as we know it? You can forget about all the things we said. Second Amendment, that will be like a civil war. because when if you give up the Second Amendment, if they come knocking at your door, because in New York State, guess what? In New York State, every legal procedure, they know each of your guns. They know the caliber of your guns. They know what you have. They put it on a permit. You cannot be possessing a pistol without a permit. And they know all of that. Now, and they also have a file on who has AR-15s. So these are on file. If they want to come and get us, they'll know exactly where to go. But I'm just saying this. The Second Amendment would be a civil rights battle. Just a battle. Because that is the last defense between you and anarchy. It's the last defense between you and the mob. And if you expected your mayor to step in and help you, forget it. I'll say this about Mayor Brown. He's done, you know, I'm no Mayor Brown fan, okay? But he's done a fairly good, even-handed job regarding this sort of thing for a little while. He does not seem like an extremist at all. And I'll play it day by day with Mayor Brown. But so far, I'm not angry. I think he's done a pretty decent job. Okay, give us a call. Will it be the end of the USA as we know it? And this is not overhype. I really, truly believe it. On News Radio 930, this is WBEN. You know, I was just thinking, you just heard the PSA, public service announcement for Boys and Girls Club, and they're talking about what happens when the kids get home from school if their parents aren't there, what are they going to do? Why aren't the TV stations running any PSAs for the police departments? And show some of the good stuff they do that never gets rewarded, never gets mentioned. And if there's any incident, it leads every newscast. It's the headline of every newspaper. And as I said to Tom Burton, if you count it up on an average day, a week, a month, how many incidents across the country there are with police and how few problems there are, it is by the percentage. By any other means, by any other gauge, that would be considered a rousing success. Except in police work, it's so dangerous, sometimes it doesn't work out right. And surely, occasionally, there are bad cops, but I say occasionally because I mean it. Most of them are fine, but maybe one or two here and there aren't. And I'd like to see some PSA done by a really good ad agency showing some of the better things that the cops do to kind of erase that mind of bad boy, what you're going to do when they come for you. All right, let's go to line one to start with, and that would be Diane in Buffalo. Diane, you're on WBEN.
Hi, Sandy.
Hello, Diane. Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to tell you, I wanted to just mention about the Buffalo Police. I live on the east side, and I'm 70 years old and crippled. And on May 17th, a neighbor came running over to my house, to my yard, and started smashing a big window with a board.
Oh, jeez.
I'm outside, and I was assaulted. This woman and him, she hit me in the eye, gave me a black eye, smashed at my glasses, and then he started punching me in the head.
For what reason? Just out of the blue?
They're crackheads. They're druggies. I don't know. They stole some kittens off my porch. I wanted them back. This was a couple days ahead of time before, and I did call them thieves and liars. But anyways.
So that was too late. The cops couldn't have gotten there in time, and that's why this happened. Were you? Had you had problems with them much before?
20 years. They moved in April, beginning of April, and this is May 17th. They were, okay, it's a crack house, it's a drug house, it's a flop house. Anyways, I went into the house because they broke my glasses. I had to get another pair of glasses, call the police. I got my pepper spray. I took the board in the house because they used a board, big board, to smash the window. And then they started using it to go for me. But I took it away from them because they threw it at me. And once I had a hold of it and they knocked me to the ground, I went back in the side door. And I did all those things, getting new glasses because I couldn't see. And I went outside with the pepper spray because he didn't leave. She left. She only hit me once, but she gave me a bloody eye.
Oh, geez. Really? Now, let me give you a little tip about something that's perfectly legal, okay? You don't want to have a weapon be a problem if it's illegal. Here's something that's perfectly legal. Wasp spray. Wasp spray is different than most other sprays because they know that if you're going to spray out on a nest, oftentimes the nest's a long ways away. I know that. I had a nest when I lived in the town of Boston, and I was at least 10 yards away before I sprayed it. And the wasp spray has a great reach, and it's legal.
Yeah, but listen, the police finally came after I pepper sprayed him. I went out the front door and pepper because he wouldn't leave.
Oh, they were still there? They didn't leave after they did the damage?
The police never arrested him. This is what I can't understand. Like, we're in shock. This guy needs to be arrested. And why? Now, they would have arrested somebody who beat up their mother.
Well, first of all, that's assault. If they broke your window, that's property damage. And once they assaulted you, I would think the second thing alone would be enough for them to be arrested on.
My property and stuff. But, you know, I want to know why the police don't arrest. This is what's going on in the East Side. Just, you know, they don't arrest them. I think that, you know, they just don't want to bother.
You know, I should have mentioned this to Tom. One of my concerns is this. I hope the police don't get into a position where they're thinking before they act, how will this look on television? How will this be in the newspaper, on radio? How are the optics? I think they have to do their duty honestly, peaceful, as best they can, settle it as peacefully as they can, use as much force as necessary, however, to get the job done. But once they start thinking like this, they put themselves at more danger. And maybe something like you just described falls through the cracks. But no. I would certainly think that they should have taken care of it. Thank you, Diane. Thank you very much. All right. What do you guys think? It sounds to me like a cut and dry situation.
You would think.
If they broke your window, that's one thing. But attacking you, as she described herself as crippled, I don't know what her situation is, but it sounds like it was kind of an unfair assault to me.
Well, somebody needs to be locked up.
That's wrong. Mr. Beamer, Mr. Joseph Beamer.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, that spray, it was a texter suggested it to me, put it up there, said wasp spray has, you know, it has a long range, so if somebody's coming after you or whatever and you know it, that's a long range, and it's very effective. And who knows? When the cops are there, you must have had some wasps that you were trying to spray.
Sure, yeah.
And they were carrying clubs and guns. They were big wasps. Others are not Protestant at all.
They were murderer hornets.
Get the joke? White Anglo-Saxon Protestant wasp. I have to explain it because not everybody understands humor, okay? Hey, the platform moves at the same speed of the ride on this show. We'll be back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.